tactics were simple, of necessity. Their knowledge of the opposition was virtually nil. All they knew was that their adversary had serious tech, and that the land was mined. Their numbers were unknown, the extent of the opposition's armory was unknown. Even the location of the redoubt itself was an unknown. In these circumstances, their only option was to split into groups and make a three-pronged assault. Ryan would have liked to have made it a pincer movement, but to do this, he would have needed some idea of where the redoubt was, to circle around it. One solution would have been to send the parasails out to wreck, but he was unwilling to do that. It would draw fire, and to sacrifice their aircraft and show their hand so early would be disastrous. Airborne craft in the Deathlands were virtually unknown. It would be best to leave the parasails as a shock tactic, and Ryan thought he knew exactly how to do that. While Robert and Jack kept watch, and after the arsenals had been repacked and restored to their combat-ready positions, Ryan gathered the assembled technomads along with his people.
We're only going to get one chance at this, and we need to hit hard and fast. They won't expect attack from the sky, and they don't know the extent of what we've got.
Could you be sure of that?
Not totally, but why would they send a spy missile unless they had a need to know? Of course, we don't know what they have either.
We don't know much. We can't just blunder in.
You backing out on us?
Brianna fixed Mildred with a withering glare.
If I wanted to withdraw, I would. But I have an aversion to walking into a firestorm.
I think, madam, that Mildred's point is precisely that. We have to choose between a leap of faith and running away and hiding. But sooner or later...
Just so that we're clear, I have no aversion to fighting. Neither do I disagree that we'll have to face this threat, and that sooner is preferable to later. That doesn't mean that I want to walk into a firing squad.
Brianna, they're just as uninformed as we are. It also seems clear that they're reluctant, for whatever reason, to come out and fight. Otherwise, they would have come for us long ago. So for whatever reason, they want to rely on the remote defenses to take us out. If we can get through some of those, the element of surprise is with us, and we can maybe get the upper hand.
Yeah, I suppose. Go on.
With no further interruptions, Ryan outlined his plan. It took only a short time, as there was little they could do other than make a direct move and be ready to respond to any retaliation. It was time to stop talking and take action.
Sid, status report.
Four aircraft have breached from the same direction, flying in a fan pattern. They are flying across the minefields, activating that defense.
What? What the hell is the point of that?
Christy was right behind Howard. Figuring that Corwin had brought with him more than one parasail, she could see immediately what Ryan had planned. She hoped that Howard wouldn't catch on too quickly, and that Sid could continue his technique of omission and evasion.
Minefields in sectors 8 and 9 depleted by 30%.
What?
50. 65.
Fuck!
90.
Fuck!
Christy looked at the monitors, taking them all in at a glance. It wasn't the biggest force in the world, but at least there were more of them than there was of Howard. And although they wouldn't know it, they had inside help, or at least as much as she could give them. As much as Sid and Hamill could do to be obstructive and circumvent their programming.
What are they doing?
Christy couldn't be sure if he was asking her, or Sid and Hamill, or just himself.
You have anything yet?
No, not yet. I'm going to switch to another frequency. I have to admit, I'm not entirely convinced this is going to work.
He's not Give me that thing. Corwin, it's JB. The motion sensors on a lot of pre-dark mines work by vibration. Nobody knew how long these things had to last, so they were totally passive. There's no batteries, no radar, no nothing. Just keep trying frequencies with your sonar things until you resonate with the ground. The ground moves, the mine blows up.
All right, but I've tried just about every frequency. Yow! It worked! It worked! Everybody, set to my current frequency.
The gathered forces now split into three contingents, grouped in formation, then fanned out so that they could cover a wide sweep of ground. The only indication that their sonic weaponry was being deployed came from a mild sensation of nausea that passed through the assembled throng. The silence, as they watched the aircraft bank and turn, was momentary. The air grew thick with smoke and sand flung up by the detonation of the mines. The parasails themselves had banked and reared to avoid the earth thrown up by their operation. Knowing the range of their sonic weapons, it was safe for Corwin to pull his people up 100 feet without lessening their chance of success. The sight below him was awesome to behold. The vibrations sent out by the parasails activated the motion sensors of the mines as the sonic wave hit,
aiming always to their rear so that the worst of the explosions occurred behind their flight path. The mines exploded in a chain, lines of ruptured surface soil forming intricate line patterns, similar to the ones seen on the flat plain by Jack before his own doomed sortie the night before. As the air cleared, the columns and banks of darkness dissipating and letting the light of day through once more, Ryan signaled that the attack should begin. The three parties had been divided according to a rough matching of their skills. Jack and Robert were natural partners, while Ryan took it upon himself to work with the Ice Queen. He wanted to keep his eye on Brianna, and added Mildred to his party to assist him in this task. There was a chance that Brianna may need to be taken down for the success of the mission, if she became a loose cannon. If Ryan didn't do it, then he knew he could rely on Mildred. JB and Doc were paired, partly so that the Armorer could keep his eye on Doc. They were joined by the Black Man and by Rhonda, who had taken a shine to Doc. Ryan always took things like that into account. In the heat of battle, any edge was worth exploiting. Jack and Robert were joined by Cedric and Gwen, the chestnut-haired woman. The combination of laser tech, combined with the obvious skills of Jack and Robert, seemed to balance well. Finally, Ryan had opted to include the guy with the Garcia t-shirt to round out his party. The guy was still an enigma, so it was hard to know where else to place him. At the same time, his laconic attitude made him a good choice alongside Brianna, as one of her people the least likely to follow her, should she rebel against Ryan's stewardship of the battle. The three parties were to start at the same spot, and then fan out in a similar manner to the parasails, dogging their trail and traversing the area of now-defunct mines as swiftly as possible. They had no idea of how long they would have to keep going at speed to reach the redoubt, but Ryan was sure that they would either reach their destination or encounter the enemy pretty quick. The air was heavy with the acrid, stinging smell of explosive and scorched earth, catching at the backs of throats, making it hard to breathe. There was no time to look around and take stock, only time to try to keep upright and move forward. Ryan couldn't spare the necessary attention to look around to see where the other two parties were. He relied on the tenacity of JB and Jack to drive them forward.
Minefields end about 500 feet from your current position, Ryan. Paths are cleared. They just end, with no sign of what other defenses take over. Must be some. Looks like a small valley 1,000 yards beyond. Nothing but a ruined building there. Could send one parasail to wreck.
Send a parasail to wreck. But be triple red. There must be other bastard defenses, and they've got to be well hidden. Keep Frosty over the ruined building. Sounds like the perfect place to hide an entrance. Everyone else, keep going, but keep alert. Now that the mines are taken out, they'll send something else.
The thing Ryan had been trying not to think about was if the enemy sent more gas rather than men. Nerve gas would stop them if absorbed through the skin, and they had no goggles or protective eyewear for the tear gas. The Black Man had issued them all nose filters from his people's equipment, but the things were making it hard for him to breathe other than through his mouth, which pretty much defeated their purpose. He was tempted to just discard them and hope for the best.
Anti-personnel heads, Hamill. Primed and ready to fire, ASAP.
Workers in place. Estimated time to firing, 3.5 minutes. Enemy currently 4.2 minutes from end of minefield.
Good. It's not a big margin, but it may be enough.
Howard turned to Christy, his eyes shining. She could see madness in them. The time to act was approaching far too rapidly. Sid had shown no indication of cracking the code as of yet.
Why did they do that?
Do what? They were trying to break through your defenses. Why shouldn't they do that?
Because it's not the right way to do it. That's not how it's supposed to happen. They wait until it's dark, then they try to sneak past the minefield without alerting us to their presence. That's how it's always done, the proper way. You don't just charge in, bulldoze your way past the defenses, and give the opposition advance knowledge of your presence. Oh, that's the problem with this world. People have no idea of how they should behave. We'll just have to show them the right way, I guess. You and me, Storm Girl. I must go and get changed. Ready for the battle to come. I'll be right back.
Sid, what's taking so long?
Some of the numbers are obscured. No matter which camera or which time frame I choose, the analysis program is running as fast as I can push it. But there's so much footage.
Well, you'd better hurry, or else I'm going to have to rip Howard's hand off and push his thumb in myself.
It crosses my mind that it may be quicker than searching for the failsafe.
Yeah, and revenge for you before your release. Problem is, if I'm not quick enough, he could order the destruction of the oncoming forces while we fought. No, you run that override, and I'll take care of Howard.
Howard strode back into the room, dressed in full Thunder Rider uniform. He flashed her the kind of grin she could only imagine that he had seen so many times on the old vids.
Hamill, missiles ready?
He seemed full of confidence once again. The costume may have been nothing more than scraps of material and body armor, but it held meaning for Thunder Rider.
Primed and ready to fire.
Then fire them. Sid? Sid!
Yes, Howard?
Towers, open fire.